finally a fully healthy roster. We talked about this a lot yesterday. Sheldon Keefe finally got to put together the lineup he had been dreaming about since training camp, AB. Let's bring in James Myrtle of The Athletic. James, I just mentioned those new line combinations, the one that Sheldon Keefe has been hoping to put together since training camp. Which one of these new combos intrigues you the most for the game against Anaheim tonight?
Well, it's the one that we've never seen before, with Nylander playing with David Kampf and Alex Kerfoot on that quote-unquote third line. I'm interested to see, you know, Sheldon Keefe talked about this, that it's on him to make sure that everyone gets the minutes, and he's explained that to William Nylander, and I don't even know if that is going to be the third line. Like, I could see them, he's got,
Sheldon
Keefe has so much trust in David Kampf, I wonder if that line ends up, you know, maybe they have two second lines now with the way that they've distributed the ice time, and maybe it's just whichever players are going, whichever lines are clicking, that's the line that's going to get more ice time. And, you know, can Nylander generate offense playing with Kampf? And can that really give the Leafs a three-line attack that we haven't seen a whole lot this season? I think that it makes a lot of sense for them to try this right now. They've got, as you guys were saying, the schedule has been so disjointed, but they've got some opponents. You know, they got New Jersey back-to-back coming next week. They can test some things out, and we're into this mid-season period where there's going to be a whole bunch of games, and, you know, they're through the COVID, you know, with so many of the team players having COVID, you know, they don't have to necessarily worry about those absences again right now. I think it makes a whole lot of sense to try this right now.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and you talked about how you believe that we could potentially see like two second lines, and coming into it, we're thinking, well, is Nylander's ice time going to get affected? Like, could that take a bit of a dip here? But even if it does, or if it doesn't, and they just kind of take this three-line approach, I think this could be a benefit down the road to make sure that the guys like Marner and Matthews and Tavares and William Nylander, you can throw into that, will be fresher for the playoffs. So they don't have to play 22-plus minutes a night. Maybe it just kind of take a couple of minutes off and try and keep them fresh down the road.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, that I would add is that Matthews has been playing so well. He looks so dominant that whenever he's been on the ice, the Leafs just seem to have the puck the whole time. They seem to be in the offensive zone the whole time. And that's been whether he's been playing with Marner or not. So, you know, and the line that's been struggling for me watching them has been the Tavares line. So, you know, you get Marner playing with him, you really beef up what they've got there. You spread the wealth a little bit, and then I don't have any doubt that Matthews is still going to be able to drive a line. Kasha's had such a great season. Bunting's had such a great season. Those bargain buys they had in the offseason have really paid off. And it just looks like a much deeper lineup to me if it works, you know. And so we'll see. We'll see what it looks like tonight.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to get a little bit of a stretch run here. We'll see how long it is, but I'm excited to see what it looks like. I got a question for you here. James, what's more surprising to you? The fact that Michael Bunting has become a mainstay on the top line, or Nick Ritchie has fallen out of the lineup completely? Which one would have surprised you most at the start of the season?
That's a tough one. I think I would say Bunting emerging as the first line option has surprised me the most. You know, Ritchie's always been one of those guys that has been a little bit, there's a lot of people around the league that are down on him. There's some people that like him. There's some that don't. You know, he had some success in Boston last year when they played him with good players, but there was always the potential for that contract to go bad the way that it has. And it, you know, that's going to be a tough one for them to swallow, you know, if they can't move that before next year. But Bunting, you know, he only played 26 games. He's 26 years old. He's with an organization in Arizona that doesn't have a whole lot of talent. I mean, you look at the lineup that they're rolling out, they let him walk for basically nothing. They hardly play him in the NHL the last 3 or 4 years he's been in the organization. Like, what a wasted talent evaluation that for Arizona. What just a huge miss for their front office, and a big win for the Leafs front office. Obviously, they knew him. There's the Sioux Greyhound connection where he played there in junior, and he knew Kyle Dubas, and he knew Sheldon Keefe, but he's been a whole lot better than I was expecting, to be honest. Like, I didn't know if Bunting was going to be a second-line guy, third-line guy, fourth-line guy. I wouldn't have predicted he would be a first-line guy.
Yeah, you can't win them all, and you get to see the full kind of range of Kyle Dubas' wins and misses in evaluating Nick Ritchie and Michael Bunting side by side. We've got James Myrtle of The Athletic on the phone right now. James, we were talking about this a little bit before you came on. Jack Campbell gets back into the net tonight after a week without game action following his last game. His just like heart-stinging quote to the media was, "I promise I'll be better." How much pressure do you think he's putting on himself to put on a really good performance tonight?
Well, probably too much. That's in his nature, you know. I mean, I talked to some people who knew Jack going back to when he was a kid, and he was doing that when he played in minor hockey in Michigan growing up, where he was just every goal against was like almost like the end of the world for him. So it's been something that he's been dealing with for a long time. I know the Leafs have worked with him on that. And he just needs to kind of compartmentalize a little bit. And, you know, it's the middle of the season. It's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint, to use the cliche. And, you know, that's the way that Campbell High really has to look at this. But, you know, it was really encouraging, I think, on Saturday that Mrazek came in and played as well as he did. I think the Leafs got to go more to kind of the tandem that they were thinking this it was going to be this season. You know, they paid Mrazek $3.8 million and gave him a term on his contract for a reason, because he's a guy that's played almost 300 games in the NHL. He's led teams to the playoffs in the past. He's played big games for Carolina and Detroit. I think you got to roll Mrazek into at least like 40% of the remaining games. And that's going to, I think that's going to put some healthy pressure on Campbell, where it's, you know, like if Mrazek's going better than you are for a spell, he might get a few more starts. And just looking around the league, there's so many teams now that are good teams that use two goaltenders. And I think that that's the way the Leafs need to go the rest of the way.
What do you make of Chris Johnson's report on insider trading last night that the Leafs are interested in trading for guys with term, given the state of the cap right now and the uncertainty of next season and the number of guys that are currently unsigned for the team? And are there maybe some names that you've got your eye on around the league that you think would be good fits for Toronto?
That's a good question. I think we're still kind of waiting to see which teams fall out of the mix here and decide that they're going to be sellers versus buyers. I mean, the number of sellers right now is still relatively small. You know, one player who I think would be fantastic in Toronto would be JT Miller in Vancouver, but I just don't know if the Canucks are going to be ready to move on from him, given that they've kind of had a little bit of a surge with Bruce Boudreau. If the Leafs do decide that they need to add a forward, I think the biggest priority for them is going to be on defense, but if they do decide they need to add a forward, I think he makes a lot of sense. Claude Giroux does not have term on his contract, but I think he would look fantastic with the Leafs if they can find a way to make the cap work. But, you know, in terms of CJ's report, I think he's bang on. And, you know, ideally, if you're a team like the Leafs, where you do have this window where most of the roster is going to be back next season, if you can add a piece that's going to be with you for more than just as a rental player, I think that that makes a whole lot of sense. And you feel better about giving up assets. You feel better about giving up a top prospect or your first round pick if you're getting someone who's going to be with you a little bit longer than, say, Nick Foligno was last year.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I keep hearing Claude Giroux get brought up, and like to me, it's that seems like more of a luxury ad. And we talk about how well Kosh has played and Bunting's played, and you know, we got to a point where we feel comfortable enough with this forward group where guys like Kerfoot and Nylander could be moved down to the third line. To me, it's more of a defensive thing. Like I believe if this team needs to kind of make a move and a big splash to give up those assets, doesn't it have to be on the back end?
Yeah, just at this point, I don't see who that's going to be. And I'm sure that the Leafs front office is doing their due diligence to try and identify the names, but that's where the bigger hole is. And especially on the right side, you know, there's been some talk about Jacob Chychrun. There's been talk about John Klingberg. Klingberg's a right shot. Chychrun can only really play the left side. You know, the Leafs are kind of jammed up on the left side. So you got to get someone that can play on that right side and that can play with Jake Muzzin. And there's not a whole lot of options. There's certainly not a lot of options in terms of rentals. And the trouble you run into trying to find right shot defensemen is they're just in such demand around the league. There's not that many teams that are willing to give them up because there aren't very many of them. So I just don't know if they're going to be able to find that player that they need, a top four right shot D with term on the contract. If they can, then yeah, they should go hard at giving up some assets. But, you know, it's going to leave them, if they do that, like let's say they acquire a defenseman that's got a $4 million, $5 million cap hit for next season, they're going to have some really difficult decisions to make. Because even if they don't acquire a contract like that, they're going to be over the cap with Jack Campbell's new contract. So, but that can be a situation where you say, you know what, we're going to acquire the player, we'll figure out in the offseason, we'll trade someone else and we'll make that work. when the dust settles after the playoffs.
Connor Murphy's been an intriguing name that I've been kind of poking around looking at. He's got some term, signed an extension for $4.4 million, and there was a report last week that Chicago, apparently there's a fire sale coming if your name's not Kane or Taze, and I wonder if that could be a decent option for Toronto.
Yeah, I think you just, the Leafs really need someone that can play tough minutes. And so the question is, you're getting a guy like Murphy, and I'll be honest, I haven't watched him a ton this year, but can he do that? Like, can he skip? You don't need another guy that you're sheltering on the blue line. And with Murphy, he's always been known as, you know, a little bit more of an offensive facilitator than a defensive shutdown guy. The other name that I've heard that has term on his contract is Damon Severson in New Jersey, and he's really interesting. I think he would be really expensive to acquire, and he's got 1 year left on his deal, sort of the same cap hit as Connor Murphy. But again, it's like, do you feel like he can play the tough minutes? Do you feel like he can play against other teams' top lines? Because that's what the Leafs need. You know, the Leafs, what they're missing with Justin Hall struggling this year is someone that can play in the defensive zone, can kill penalties, can be out there against, you know, the Jonathan Taves or the Patrick Kanes or the Sidney Crosbys or whoever. And again, you know, you add all the things up of what they need in this defenseman, it's going to be really tough for them to find that.
James, another big Leaf story yesterday, Marley's forward Josh Hosang made the Canadian Olympic team. His media availability was awesome today. He was stoked about the opportunity. He couldn't say enough about how much Kyle Dubas and the Leafs organization have done for him. And he was also asked about his NHL future, and it kind of made sense to me when the team was battling COVID and injuries, and I know there were some rumblings and maybe even some talks about him signing then. But now I have a little bit of a hard time picturing just quite where he fits in a healthy Leafs lineup. Do you think there's a future here in Toronto for Hosang?
Well, he doesn't fit in a healthy lineup, but if they run into injuries, you know, he potentially fits. There's just, I mean, Nick Ritchie's not even on the team. You know, he's making $2.5 million, and they put him through waivers. So I think what they're going to need to do with Josh Hosang is, you know, let him play out the season with the Marlies, let him, you know, go on a, you know, potentially a playoff run down in the AHL, evaluate where they think he's at and make a decision for next year. Is he good enough to be on the NHL team or not? You know, I know his goal is going to be in the NHL next season for sure. You know, there's going to be changes with the Leafs. You know, Ilya Mikheyev's a UFA. I don't see any way the Leafs are going to be able to retain him. There's going to be spots that are going to open up in the lineup. And the question is, do they feel like Josh Hosang is someone who could be filling those? And, you know, it would have been interesting if during, you know, the COVID absences and the injuries and everything, if they could have brought Hosang in. And even if you try him on the fourth line, which has struggled of late, and played him on the power play, it would have been interesting to see how he fits in. He's had a solid season in the AHL. He hasn't really, like, lit the world on fire there. I think he's got 20 points in 27 games. You know, right now he kind of looks like one of those tweener guys that's going to be, you know, between the AHL and the NHL, and he hasn't really – we'll see. I mean, the Olympics give him a chance to really showcase himself, not just to the Leafs but to around the league, and we'll see if another team steps up and offers him a contract. If I'm somewhere like Arizona or, you know, one of these teams that doesn't have a whole lot of forward talent, I would take a chance on Josh Hosang right now. But, you know, it's a little bit tougher decision for the Leafs when they're in the situation they're in.
In conversation with James Myrtle of The Athletic, Leafs optional morning skate today. Muzzin was out in a regular full contact jersey for the first time. When do you expect to see him back in game action?
Well, I mean, knowing Jake Muzzin, he'll come back as soon as he possibly can. It's just, you know, with the head injury, the Leafs are very, very cautious with those, and they give players extra time. So, you know, I'm sort of guessing because I'm not in the, I don't know what the medical team is saying to him every day, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he sits out the Saturday game and potentially comes back Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, they've been doing that quite a bit where you just take an extra day as opposed to a day too early, and hopefully it doesn't cause lingering concerns here, and especially with head injuries, it's always something that you're going to want to be a little bit more cautious of. James, really appreciate you talking today, and we'll get you back at some point here down the road.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me on.